Big Rab Show podcast is kindly sponsored by G1 Reeds. They are the champion's choice, with many bands around the world playing G1 products, including two-time world champions in Inveraray District. So check out g1reeds.com as they keep the lights on here on the Big Rab Show podcast.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome to another Big Rab Show podcast. And can we say Happy New Year? Or I suppose now, what, this is the 4th of January now that we're recording this. I'm sure you're bound to be sick of hearing it about now, you know, New Year's and resolutions and all that old carry on. So, but we're not going to get into that on this week's pod, as I'm sure you've already noticed by the title of this week's episode. We're going to be talking to Reid Maxwell. We've got such a great episode to bring you this week, and what a way to kick off 2023. But before we do, let's do our introductions then, shall we? Well, if this is your first ever Big Rab Show podcast, then you are welcome. We are the show for the bagpiping folk, reflecting everything in the bagpiping world, be it Celtic music, folk music, or our bread and butter, competitive piping and drumming. Each and every week, we talk about what we know and love to be the music of the great Highland Bagpipe and its people. And, like every other podcast out there, we do have a Patreon. So if you do want to help support us, you can go over there, click on support, and get your mitts on loads of extra stuff. Yes, and you may as well also have had early exclusive access to this interview. That's all I'm going to say on that front. Plus a load of other great backstagey stuff that you want to get your mitts on, trust me. Yeah, so there you go. Be part of the Patreon, faithful, and you will be immediately awesome. But you will also be helping support your favourite pod. Keep the doors open, I guess. There you are. So, we normally kick open the door for listener mail, word of the week, weekly drone, all that sort of stuff. But as you can imagine, over the course of the holidays and everything, it's been kind of quiet. So our listener mail's been a bit of a ghost town. There's been very little listener mail this last while. And even for word of the week suggestions and all that sort of stuff. So we've no word of the week, we've no weekly drone, and no listener mail, unfortunately. So yeah, you can see the tumbleweed blowing through Big Rab Show Studios at this point. If you do want to send us in your listener mail, let us know how your holidays went, then of course you can email us, bigrabshow@gmail.com. That address again, bigrabshow@gmail.com. We'd love to know your thoughts about what this incoming season is going to look like. We talked all about that last night on Fuse FM. That was an interesting show, by the way. So for those of you who caught our Fuse FM show on Fuse last night, that was an interesting conversation. Talking about both the positives and negatives that people expect for 2023, it's going to be an interesting year. And probably more so than 2022. I guess with last year, we kind of knew what to expect, that we would be rebuilding our scene slowly but surely. But 2023, it's shaping up to be quite a huge year with a lot of changes. And some of those are for the good, some of those for the bad. And it's left people wondering what sort of a season are we going to have. So we will be bringing a full Big Rab Show season preview, of course. That will be happening later in a future episode. But we would love to know your thoughts though on those. So give it some thought. What do you think the road lies ahead for us in 23? Send us in your listener mail. We'd love to know what you think. So our email address, bigrabshow@gmail.com. That address again, bigrabshow@gmail.com. We would honestly love to know what you think about this incoming year. And of course, if you are fearful of reprisal and all of that, then there is a way for you can get in contact with us, and that's Weekly Drone. It's completely anonymous. There's a big button right at the top of our website, and you can submit your thoughts and feelings completely anonymously. There you are. So, it's a bit of an unusual start to the pod this week, but I guess it is what it is. And I guess at this point we'll take a little break before we start getting into, this week we're not getting into all the news and updates, unfortunately. We're going straight into the topic of the week this week. No messing around. So, I think it's time for me to go and get myself a big cup of tea. It's time for the topic of the week. Do you wish piping could be fun again? Bagpipers around the world continue to struggle with their instrument, despite hours of hard work trying to get better. Bagpiping should be fulfilling. Your hard work should pay off, showing improvement and the freedom to express yourself musically. Or why do it? The Dojo University believe every piper should be able to free themselves from musical frustration, proven over more than a decade of successful teaching and accessible anywhere with an internet connection. The Dojo is unlike any other bagpipe learning experience in the world. Let the Dojo channel your enthusiasm into a fun and fulfilling program that will empower you with the knowledge to fall in love with piping all over again. So go to dojouniversity.com/BigRab and take advantage of our 30-day free trial of Dojo Premium Membership. Join the global community of students today and rediscover the fun of bagpiping. dojouniversity.com/BigRab for a 30-day free trial. McLennan Bagpipes by North Carolina artisan instrument maker Roddy McLennan from Euston, Scotland. Proud supplier of bagpipes, small pipes and chanters to Ali the Piper. One-of-a-kind instruments crafted from the finest materials using traditional skills for more than 30 years. Attention to detail and dedication to the highest standards of quality guarantee you a bagpipe which is more than just a musical instrument but also a work of art. Custom made for you in a variety of wood with the widest range of profiles in the industry. Repair, restoration, replacement, refurbishment services also available. Check out bespokebagpipes.com for more information. McLennan Bagpipes, born in Scotland, made in the USA. The British Drum Company is driven by their passion to create the finest marching drums for those who recognise and value the highest of standards. The Axial Series is the British Drum Company's flagship pipe band range. Axial's distinctive aesthetic owes much to its X-frame cage system. This futuristic hardware is designed to complement all of the amazing shell finishes on offer, such as the Phantom, Smoked Walnut, and the very popular Merlin finishes, of which there are three new additions for 2022, Platinum, Violet, and Emerald. The Bass and Tenors now come with Georgian Oak hoops, which feature their head stress management system, and wide mass claws for all-round better tension across the heads. The British Drum Company's Axial Series is innovation defined, designed and engineered for you to look amazing, sound amazing, and feel amazing. Wallace Bagpipes. Quality, pride and passion, made in Scotland. Proud bagpipe supplier to the Red Hot Chili Pipers. Visit wallacebagpipes.com for more information or contact your nearest dealer. Ah, there you go. That was a much needed cup of tea, I guess, at this point. There you go. But yeah, a bit of a shorter introduction for the pod this week. But don't worry, normal service will be resumed next week. Do not fear. Do not fear. I guess we're just sort of still recovering from our post-holiday hangover, I guess. But we wanted to get into this week's topic as soon as we possibly could. So again, just to remind you about the usual points of contact and stuff, we do want to know your thoughts and feelings about this incoming season. Are you looking forward to it? Are you dreading it? Or, yeah, otherwise, we want to know. BigRabShow@gmail.com. Get in contact with us. All right. As promised, we're going to get straight into this week's topic. And yes, you've guessed it by the title of this week's episode. We have Reid Maxwell on the show. Oh, my word. Yep. After picking up the world title at 2022, Reid and the folks there at SFU have just been on cloud nine. And it has been such a momentous moment for Reid lifting that sash and for everyone there at SFU and the Drum Corps. So, yeah, we have quite an interesting conversation with Reid as to what that moment meant to him and to everyone in the Drum Corps there at SFU. So, Enough of me waffling, I guess. Let's bring the guy on, will we? So let's welcome Reid to the podcast.
So welcome to the show, Reid Maxwell. How are you, sir? Are you well?
Very well, thanks, Rob. Thank you.
Good, good. I dare say you are very well. Yeah, because something happened last year that was quite awesome. And we're going to talk about that first of all. But I have to say Happy New Year to you as well.
And right back at you as well.
Indeed. Well, I want to talk about your plans for 2023. It's going to be an exciting year. But first of all, we do have to look back on the season that was 2022. And of course, lifting that drum corps title at the World Championships. Tell me what that felt like when the name was read out.
Well, I did say on a post on Facebook that the word surreal was kind of passed around in conversation with the younger people in the corps. Because there's quite a bit of a gap between this old dog and the next person who's in their mid-30s, you know. So there's quite a gap there. But nobody in the corps, except for Stephen Painter, had ever won any prize in grade one, like a first in drumming or first with a band. Stephen, when he played with the St. Lawrence Bill, had won a drum corps prize with Stephen Brighton's corps. Mm. And so it was the first time for all of them. And as I explained to people, it's very likely to be the last time because the likelihood of winning is far more unlikely than it is likely. And you always treat it like that. And for me, there was a bit of a gap. The last time I won with the band was in 2009. And, you know, so here we are. 13 years later or whatever that number is, minus a couple of COVID interruptions there. And, you know, I've been very, very, very lucky. I mean, people ask me about stuff and I'm saying, well, if there's a little bit of a sentence that sums up anything, it would be that Reid Maxwell is the luckiest drummer in the world. he grew up in an organization. He emigrated to Canada and played with the 78 Fraser Highlanders under Bill Livingston. And then he moved to the West Coast and played with Simon Fraser University on the invitation of Terry Lee. And everybody knows that is very well documented. And so it's just superbly lucky, good fortune. And but none of the wins is better than any of the wins. They're all incredibly special for their own reason. They're incredibly special. And, you know, there was a lot of work, COVID interruptions, as I mentioned, a lot of hard practice, a lot of keeping things organized over the time, coming up with a new medley, having a little bit more time to do that, do a little extra work on some MSR stuff, and then just keeping organized. It was a little bit challenging. It was a little challenging, too, because competition circuit was a wee bit different. It was not quite what it was in 2019, getting ready to come over. And I think other bands would have felt that too. It's not just a unique thing to the SFU Pipe Band here in Vancouver, but it's something that everybody had to adjust to. So, you know, I think we did the best we could and the results kind of fell our way and played really well. I mean, I couldn't have been more happy with the gang and we were just absolutely delighted. Every time we came off, we felt that we had made a good account of ourselves, and that's really all you can do. You have to come off and you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, that was really good. And then go and pray, you know, that's all you can do.
Well, I know as a core player that the first thing that you did as soon as you come off the line is you had a look either left or right to your lead tipper. Are they smiling? Are they not? You know, did you do the job? Did you please your lead tipper? Did you find that with your own core then, Reid? You know, as soon as you stop, everyone's like, what do you think of that?
there's those little sort of body language nods, winks, smiles that go on. And I think that as the event goes on, I would imagine it might be the same for about everybody, but the first play of the four is very good, but you're thinking so much because it's the first play. And then the next one, you go from an MSR, which is a little bit more of a stoic type of thing, you know, as opposed to that, let it go a little bit in the medley. Then you go and you play the medley, everybody feels a little bit better, it's a medley, and then the smiles get bigger, and then you go the next day and it's the MSR again, but because you've already been, you're halfway through it, it doesn't have the same little bit to it that the first one did. And then you get into the very and I took the guys in the court aside about 30 minutes before we went on. We were kind of under the shade, and I said, guys, come here a second. I said, this might sound a little bit, you know, heavy, but I said, it's 30 minutes and we're on. I said, it's going really well. Let's make sure that we absolutely empty the tank. We have a really good time. And I don't want to be a downer, but you know what? Enjoy it for everything you can, because we don't know when the next one is going to be, because we didn't think that we were going to have to wait all this time after we were here in 2019. And so I said, get back there under the trees and let's just keep the hands going. And it was just to try and help the focus and make sure that everybody really went out and enjoyed themselves. That's all you can do. Leave it on the field, come off, get back to the bus, have a nice cold one and get ready for the mass bands. And I don't know how much that helped, but I just felt it was important to capture a wee bit of the moment that if we hadn't gone through the COVID pandemic thing, I would never have thought to say, other than, hey, we're on in a half an hour, let's, you know, keep the head and go, you know.
No, you're 100% right, though. You know, and we were talking with you over the course of the pandemic and talking about how much we missed it, you know. So getting back into the circle this season, I'm sure you guys, you know, it took a wee while to find form in that again, but you guys seem to have a real strong season this year with a big sound too. They just really just hit the ground running.
Yeah, we did. I sort of pride ourselves in being really organized. And if I were to roll back the clock, most bands would probably start their preparation for the next season in the fall of the year that you've just finished. So
yeah.
We didn't, like everybody, there was no pipe band season in 2021, but we were able to get back practicing in September of 2021. Now, we would normally never practice in September. We normally take all of September off, and well into October, we're doing things in the background, but then getting ready to get back to band. Mm-hmm. But because we were able to get back to band and we had not practiced because we had no facility, what we did is we got back and we were practicing really, really well with things kicking around, new ideas for the new medley. And we actually broke for the Christmas holidays right on schedule the first weekend in December. And the main reason we break the first weekend in December is because right after that Sunday is when the university starts exams for the year end.
So
you know? So we all broke for holidays. We had the first half of the medley pretty much set, and we had a good idea in the second half, but there was things that we needed to try. So we were going to use the holiday time to kind of kick the tires a wee bit and see what
play
was
about.
Going.
Yeah, and I.
And so we did that, and then we were getting ready to come back at the start of January, and then that Omicron variant kicked in, and everything was locked in again.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, where we are in British Columbia, our government's been really good about it and we're all over it. And then by the end of January, the university had announced that we could get back to practicing again. Now, we're very cautious because we're very respectful of everybody's health. So what happened is the drummers were able to get back to practicing right away in their normal practice location. So we got back and within a couple of weeks, we're on drums all the time in the theatre, because we had to wear masks, but we could wear masks because it wasn't a problem. But the pipers, they waited an extra 2 to 3 weeks just to make sure everything was okay.
Right.
Continued to work on Zoom. And then at the very end of February, beginning of March, bang, we were able to hit the floor running, tweak some things and got it going. And then that's kind of where it went from there. So,
there you go.
Yeah, it was no more difficult and annoying for us than it was everybody else. Sometimes I think that we're lucky that we have the university behind us to the capacity that we do, and we have a facility that there's places they can put us and allow us to do our things. So that all worked out really good, I think, you know?
Excellent. Yeah, definitely. But I have to say, ourselves in Rab Show, we managed to find you guys warming up during World's Week, and we filmed a little clip of you in the park, specifically the drum corps as well, because the guy filming it is a drummer. So there you go. He filmed you. But I have to say, we posted that video, and that very same day, I think it was the Wednesday, you guys had a practice. And we posted that video that night. The talk, the comments and that went mad. Everyone's like, oh my God, that sounds incredible. You know, so you really did seem to bring your momentum from BC and Canada all the way over to the UK in Scotland. So I have to ask then, do you think that conditions helped, or was it just a case of hitting the ground running like we've been saying?
I would say both of those things, yes. Yeah. But one of the things that we found to be the best thing about the Worlds this year is the weather was so good, and it was predicted to be good every day.
Yeah, yeah.
When we made our arrangements for Sunday, we're going to start at this time, we'll meet here. We showed up at that time, and we got the job done. The next day, when we were making plans for the next day, we knew that our plans were not going to be interrupted. Now, in the last, pick as many years back as you like since the last great weather week that we had in Glasgow, which is probably never, we've always said, right, guys, let's keep the day open, 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock,
and we'll see. Yeah,
but just don't know. You don't want to be going out when it's raining. Every day when we as each day went on, we were able to make adjustments for what time we wanted to start. It was easy, and from that respect, because the weather cooperated, it was nice. And in the early part of the week, it wasn't as warm as it got on the Friday, Saturday part, which were the two warmest days of that entire week.
Yeah.
So it was like being at home. In fact, the weather was, there was a couple of days where we were checking the weather, just because what else do you do when you're in Scotland, you know? But we were checking the weather, we're back home, and it was pretty much the same or slightly warmer in Glasgow than it was, but it was within one or two all week long. So the weather was Vancouver similar for us. So, and we had already been in that warm weather. So we came to Glasgow. It wasn't any warmer or colder.
I see.
Just with it, you know?
Business as usual. There you go. Yeah.
And of course, Murphy's Law, we had an indoor facility lined up. We had spare drums lined up in case the airlines lost stuff. All our drums showed up. One was late, but it showed up before our first practice. And we never used the facility that we had set aside in case it rained, because it didn't rain. If you don't plan for those things, things go wrong. And so from that perspective, I think that we got it right, and we'll do the same next year. And next year it's a bit different because we're going to be doing the pre-Worlds concert on the Wednesday. Looking forward to that. But that will bring with it its wee nuances. But we're certainly looking forward to it, you know?
There you go. No, absolutely. You do have to plan for these things. We know how unpredictable Glasgow can be, for sure. So I have to say, the Piping World, once they heard the drumming result, we were ecstatic. We were just so happy to see it. And I think your own reaction kind of, you know, it just told a story. You know, looking at your reaction on stage lifting the trophy, it was almost as if you were in a state of disbelief going, oh my God, I've got the trophy, I've got the sash. And seeing the reaction from your core as well, it seemed to mean a lot to the folks there at SFU to lift it.
Yeah, I'm no spring chicken, as most people definitely know. I'm 61, I'll be 62 in January. And if there's one thing I know, Rab, is the sand is almost completely through my hourglass.
Nah, you know, not a bit.
It was only a little bit ago in what has been a great time. And it's been a long time. You never take it for granted. And I knew he played well. And I saw him standing there. And then they say, you know, winning the Sam J. Hodgson Trophy and Sash Simon. And it's like, oh my God, they gave it to us today. We got it. And it was like... And then, of course, the guys were going absolutely nuts, yeah. and deservedly so. And really, it's just, you know, like, that's not a bad thing. I think the guys were having a bit of a laugh because, you know, I'm a bit older than all of them, and I think they've been able to determine that I might have been the oldest guy that's actually gone up to collect the thing. So they're having a bit of a laugh with that as well. So, it was just absolutely overwhelming to think that in 1975, I played in James King's great drum corps at the Dyson and Donald Band.
Yes, winning the drum
Corby at Corby when the world was in Corby. And here we are in 2022, some 47 years later or whatever that, I don't know what that number is, 45 years later or something.
Yeah.
I managed to actually go up and collect another prize. It's just, it's numbing. It's, you know, I really don't know what to say. It's, you know, when you always play your very best and you hope that you might get a shout. But, I know of many great players, pipers and drummers, who've been more than worthy of winning a title and have never had the good fortune, and just the cards never fell their way. And I look at myself at 61 and it's like, you know, like all the youngsters, and a great deal of satisfaction because several of them were taught by myself from basically scratch coming through our organization. And then we've all managed to augment that with people like Stephen Penn, I mentioned earlier, who's come to the band from Northern Ireland through immigration, one or two other people, Tano Martoni, my right-hand guy, who's basically the guy who's in charge of the snare drum sound. So if you enjoy the crack, he's the guy that you need to talk to. He's the guy that gets the key going and,
there you go,
and tinkers with that. He's fantastic at it. And, you know, I was very happy. I mean, we had seven young women playing the corps, which is probably a record. Three snare, three tenors and a bass. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely fantastic. You know, I mean, you've got me thinking about it now because you're asking these questions, and I haven't been quite thinking about this since the few days that were after the result, and it's surreal, you know? Surreal.
Yeah. That's one of those things, I'm sure, that'll take some time for it to kind of sink in. And I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. So I have to ask then, you mentioned about the drum sound, and it's one thing that SFU have been quite famous for, is that relationship you have with Andante Percussion. So obviously, I'm sure that relationship is continuing to grow, if anything. You know, now following this, you know, when, how has the relationship with Andante been this last while over COVID and everything?
Been great. I mean, they run the most laid back organization, you know, but they're really good to listen to. They're excellent. A wee example, we've been playing those drums since they came in basically September of last year, so 2021. And we got them to tweak the shells a little bit for us. So it's the same drum, but the shell is a 7mm shell straight down. It doesn't have a bearing edge.
Oh.
So it's thicker all the way down.
Yeah.
And we wanted to try that so that we could get a little bit more kick off the back. Because as you know, the pipe band drum, when it's adjudicated in competition, is always heard from behind.
Yes.
And so we wanted to try and set the drum up in a way that would allow us to get a wee bit more of that. So Nigel and Aiden and guys sent us four shells, all slightly different. And we tried them all, and then we went with the one that we thought was definitely the winner. And there was two that were very close, but then when we took it outside, there was one that was a winner. And so when they made that set up for us, they made them up with that shell spec, and that's how they all came out. Then when we got the drums, we've been playing on them since last September, October, whenever that was, got them going really well. And one of the wee things that happened on the finish, the Andante logo was starting to peel off.
Right.
And it was looking a wee bit tacky. So so I mentioned it to Nigel and said, hey, just a wee heads up, the drums, the logo's starting to peel off the shell a wee bit. And I want you to know that, I said, because if I don't tell you and you see us at the Worlds, you'll be so annoyed that we didn't tell you, because you'll you'll not want to look like that. So yeah. Nigel and Adrian come down to the practice a couple of days before the Worlds, get mm-hmm. the take the old one off. And it's just a wee bit of a thing sometimes when you're trying to go with a certain look on a on the logo, the material that it's made doesn't stick as well to the material that's made finish. So just wee things like that, you know, this is as plain as day, you know, here they come down, got the new logos, touched the drums up, gave it a slightly different look, but we didn't really care about that. It was, we wanted them to sound great, which we were accomplishing, I think. And but we knew that they wanted the drums to look good because it's their product. And so that's just the kind of folks that we are. And I see there that this friendship and working relationship that we have with them will just continue to grow as it's done for over 10 years now, really. We played the Andante drums for the first time in 2010 and have enjoyed being part of suggesting some changes along the way and just working with them. They're down to earth, really nice people to work with. You know, you can't ask for any more than that, really.
Oh, there you go. No, fantastic. I'm glad to hear that relationship's still working so well. And hey, lifting the world title, honestly, you're doing something right there, for sure. So, Reid, you mentioned there, but just off mic, before we started recording, actually, about your involvement with various different workshops and stuff. Can I ask you then about your approach to a workshop? So you're about to walk into a room full of pupils. What's your kind of, you know, what's your focus? What do you want to achieve whenever you walk into that room?
Well, sometimes it varies a little bit based on the subject that you're going in, you know, but basically, I want to make sure that people have a good time. I want to make sure they have fun. And I also wanted to make sure that it's not easy to play. And that if you're going to, if depending on what you want to do, you have to work hard. And you need to get a good teacher or good teachers. Yes. And, you know, for example, if I was working with a class, like I actually did a class not all that long ago, where I was working with people in from lower grade bands, which often is the most likely thing to happen. One of the things that I did say to them is that I feel that in grade 5 and 4 and 3 bands especially, so 5 would be 4B back over your side of the Atlantic, so 4B, 4A, 3B, 3A, I don't think that there's a band there unless there's a very qualified drummer who used to play at the very top notch and he's decided to take a step back to work with a group. Maybe it's a band from his hometown or village or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think those people should be, they should not be writing their own scores, and they should be getting a drum corps teacher slash coach who's helping them in every capacity.
I see.
You know, like people ask me about score, writing scores and stuff like that. And Rob, what I will tell you is this: writing a score for SFU, it's not easy, but it's the easiest of all the challenges. When you've got a wee grade 4B band or a 4A band with limited things that they can do,
come up
with a score that captures the imagination of them to play it well, and maybe the judge who's listening week in and week out at competitions, that's very, very, very challenging to get stuff like that. And I think it requires a certain amount of patience and skill set. And I think that a lot of bands, like, for example, if you go to a 4B or a 4A contest or even an integrated 3, the tunes that everybody's playing on bagpipes, it's very rare that one of those tunes would be written by the pipe major or somebody in the band. You'd get the odd little thing like that. Okay?
Yeah.
It seems to be that drummers just, oh, I'm the lead drummer, I've got to write the scores. And it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, like, I sit down with a blank piece of paper, and it's like, okay, what am I going to do, you know? How do you tackle this?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any, I don't know if shame's the right word to use, but, for example, at the last World Championships in 2019, I had been working with a Sri Dismesh band from Malaysia.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
They had reached out to me, and I was working with those guys leading up to the Worlds for well over a year. They had sourced me for drum scores and stuff like that, got some scores in that sort of grade 4 range from my library, and they seemed to do really, really quite well. And I do believe that they won the best drum corps prize that year also.
I was going to say they won that year, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to promote it for myself. There's many fine instructors in Ireland and in all over Scotland mm-hmm. who could be used as a resource, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Get a little bit of help because it's not easy. I mean, I've been playing my whole life. I grew up in an organisation where I played in the Ballingary School Band, and I became a member of the Dyson Dundurrell Drum Corps. And then after I had been there for a couple of years, they asked, Reid, would you teach the beginners? And then would you do this? And so I've always found it very interesting that I was getting shown things mm-hmm. along the way. When I was a teenager, all I wanted to do was play like everybody. So
yeah.
In reflection, I can see how lucky I was at the time. I was too young to appreciate how lucky I was. I just wanted to play. But get involved in that way, you can kind of see how things go. And at the end of the day, I walk into a class and I'm always thinking, maybe I could learn something here today myself.
Really? As a tutor? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I'd like to think that I'm a better teacher than I was when I showed up in Canada. And I'd like to think that I'm a better teacher than I was 10 years ago. And I'd like to think that 10 years from now, I'll probably not be competing anymore, but I'd like to think that I'm still a better teacher than I am as I'm being.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thing, is to look at ways to teach, get better, and sort of try to unlock the doors that make it easy for other people as they come along.
That's a fantastic way to look at it. Yeah, absolutely. You did mention there when you're composing for a grade one pipe band, say like SFU, you have this massive palette to choose from, you know, like a great tenor core, great bass core, and a drum core that could play out of their skin. But as you say, whenever you go down the lower grades, then that palette does become a lot more limited then, I guess. So I think that's sound advice, you know, to get in some help if needed, you know.
Right. And I think there's a lot of people out there who would probably be willing to help, but nobody asks. And
yeah.
they're probably a little bit too, you know, they don't want to poke their nose in. So some of my peers might not want to reach out because they don't want to, you know. But I just think that all bands could benefit from that. Learn. Be a
100%. Yeah.
You know, when I teach a workshop, a couple of things that I always say is, if you think I'm going to make you great in the next 50 minutes, leave now and get a refund if they're going to do that. And more than anything, I want to be the biggest sponge that you can possibly be and soak up everything. Mm. There are no dumb questions, only people who are dumb enough not to ask a question when they're in the class.
That's a good one. Yes, absolutely. Because the amount of times I've heard stories that people go to, say, Winterstorm as an example, and they go, oh, I was in a class with Richard Parks and it was amazing. But, oh God, I wish I asked this. I wish I asked about that. I wish, why wish? Whenever you're in the room, ask the question, you know?
Yeah. And I would say that we all look forward to that because sometimes you will go in and you'll say, so any questions? And then there's that din. That
silence. Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody. You know,
someone say something, please. Oh my goodness. So yeah, hey, that's sound advice, I think, for folks. Anyone listening right now, I'm sure, will be looking forward to Winterstorm, actually. So if you are going to any of those workshops, please go with questions in mind, you know, and don't be afraid to ask them, I believe. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I need to ask you then, this is a question that we've asked you here before on the Rab Show, but it was years ago whenever we last spoke to you about this. We wanted to know, a lot of people would look to yourself for inspiration, obviously, but I want to know who you look towards for inspiration. Is there anyone in the piping scene or the music world in general that really inspires you musically?
Well, I always try to explain this to, I mean, when I use the word kids, I mean that in an affectionate way towards the youngsters that play in the band. Everybody in the band is younger than my two boys. So they're all kids to me.
Yeah.
But when I was a young guy, I remember being at the competitions and watching and listening to Alec Duffer. I remember watching and listening to Rab Turner. I remember listening to Bobby Ray's Corps when they played at the Worlds in 1983, when they played the Donald Cameron MSR. I remember that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I remember things like You know, I remember when Alec was the lead drummer of the Shots band, never mind when he was became the lead drummer of the Decal band. I remember going back that far. I remember when I first immigrated, always being very taken by the Vale of Athol band and Paul Turner and how kind of cool they did things. I like that. Mm. Obviously, Jim Kilpatrick for years and years and years. I've always sort of looked at these people. When it comes to music, I do listen to quite a lot of music other than pipe band stuff. And I would say that as I do get asked quite a bit about how long do I see myself continuing to do this. And so I cite three examples based on personal experience. About 10 years ago, I went to the Rogers Arena here in Vancouver, and I watched a 62-year-old at the time, Eric Clapton, take the stage, and mm-hmm. he blew away the entire audience for 2 hours. It was wow. unbelievable.
Yeah.
And a few years later, I went to the ACC Centre in Toronto to watch a 70-year-old David Gilmour do exactly the same thing.
Wow. Yeah.
And I've said this to the person involved here because I know him very well, but I've said to Jack Lee, who not all that long ago won the Glenfiddich in 2021, and Jack's just 3 or 4 years older than I am, and if they can all do it, then that inspires me to keep on doing it. And
yeah,
we all learn things as we mature, things. More things that you would do than not do, but at the same time, it's nice to take risks and stuff like that. I've taken a lot of them in my drumming career over the years, and so I look at people like that and gain inspiration. One of my favorite drummers would probably not pipe band related, but just favorite drummers is a guy called Don Henley, who most people recognize him as a singer from the Eagles, but he also played drums, mm-hmm. and my quote on Don Henley is he's the best ensemble drummer in rock and roll, because nobody knows better when not to drum so you can hear the singer than that. And I've always admired that approach, you know. So I take little homages with things like that and just kind of watch and listen and think about how you could apply something that goes on in a different genre to what you might want to try and do in your thing. If that makes sense.
That's a perfect example, because there's many different Eagles songs where you could tell he's just sitting in the background in the pocket, not doing anything, very understated, but the music's amazing. You know, so as you say, an ensemble drummer, that's a fantastic example. Yeah. So, well, I have to say 2022 has been an outstanding year for yourself, the drummers, the SFU, the whole group of you. It's been an outstanding year. What are your ambitions then for the future, rolling into 2023?
Well, I hope we can sell out the concert for the Worlds and have a great night of playing some new stuff, some not-so-new stuff, some really well-liked stuff, and some stuff that's maybe been given a tiny wee bit twist with the tip of my hat. But we've been working behind the scenes on sets of stuff and how we want to tackle that. So greatly looking forward to the concert. I think it would be safe to say that this will be my last concert, because by the time they get rid of asking the band again, I'll not be playing 7 years. So personally, a little bit, and just maybe enjoy it, and look forward to getting the band back over to maybe have another crack at the Worlds and to do the best we can. It's an incredibly difficult thing to do, to win like the World Pipe Band Championship or the best drum corps at the World Pipe Band Championships, and it's a harder thing to retain the prize, because at the end of the day, it's a huge honor to be recognized in that way. So I'm just hoping that we can go back and play well enough that people can, whether we get the prize or not, people can say, well, last year wasn't the flash in the pan. They're sounding pretty darn good again this year. Well done them. And if we can do that, then I'll be really happy with that, to be honest.
There you go. And that, yeah, I dare say it'll be an incredible year for SFU. I can't wait to see you back on the grass again, for sure. So I know at the moment you're all furiously working away on the new material and stuff. So yeah, just wanted to wish you the best of luck this incoming season. I can't wait to see us back again. Yeah.
Right. Thanks very much for the invite. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
No, you're very welcome. So, but before I go, I've got one final question I need to ask you before I let you go. Okay. Now, this is a Rab Show question. I'm sure you've been asked this a million times. The orange hat, the orange baseball cap, is it it's something you're really famous for now? People can pick you out from across the park. Oh, there he is. So is it like a superstitious thing or is it just a fashion statement?
No, it was never really meant to be anything. I've been basically wearing an orange hat since I joined the SFU band, not exclusively, but then it became this thing because I would get them. So two reasons. As you well know, I'm not the tallest guy in the band by quite a margin. So you put the orange hat on and all of a sudden you become 6 foot tall instead of 5 foot five.
There you go. That helps. Yeah.
And I wanted to get a hat. So it had to be orange when you play in the SFU band because that orange is quite prominent.
There you go. It
became something. And now I tend to get gifted the odd one. Here and there.
Oh, really?
There you go. So it's become a thing, and I have quite a collection of orange hats. Although I do get quite a wee bit of a laugh at the fact that some people think it's the same hat that I wear all the time, and I have some that do go back for quite a few years, but they're so faded, it's like they barely look orange anymore. But it just kind of became something, and it's something I couldn't get away from it now, even I did, because for the reason that you just brought up, you know. So it's become a little bit a fun thing, and I'm just kind of keeping it going. I have a new book coming out for the first time. It should be out in the new year. It's really a teaching book.
Oh, and, yeah.
And even with the orange hat, we're going to make the cover of the book orange as well.
Ah, brilliant. There you go.
So, yeah, so look for that coming out in the new year. It'll be available as an online purchase or a hard copy for old-fashioned people like me who like a book to turn the pages and scribble notes and things like that, you know?
Myself included, yeah, for sure. So you'll have to keep us posted on that, actually. Yeah, would love to hear more about that. Yeah, so excellent stuff.
Basically a rudiment book of everything I've learned in the last years, actually a little bit more. Mm. And I've been working on it my whole life, and the last time I sort of wrote anything out on paper, it was about 60 pages long. It's now 120 pages long, my son, he said, "Dad, you need to get this out." And it's like, okay, but I don't want it to be a book that tells you how to teach. I just want to have it there that says, "This is everything that I use from singles and mama dadas all the way through to ruffs and Trislet rolls and all that kind of stuff."
Oh,
and everything
you
can imagine is in the middle. And so however you want to use it, go ahead and use it. I mean, I'm sure that as soon as it goes to print, I'll have something that I want to change. And that's how it is all the time with me. I'm like, you know, and you just kind of, I've found a better way or something like that. But I think it'll get published and it'll just stand alone as a, this is how it is. I'm not saying that this is anything other than if you can play everything in here, you're probably going to be okay.
There you go.
In addition to that, you'll be ready for it all in the mark, you know?
There you are. No, that sounds fantastic. Such a great resource too. Yeah. Well, I'd be very interested in that now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. So I have to say this six world titles. I have to say, was it five with the SFU and one with the 78? Is that correct?
Yes.
Did I count that right? Hey, there you go. I got my stats right. And normally I get them wrong, you know? So yeah, you should have been laughing at me if I got it brutally wrong. But yeah, six world titles as a lead tipper is not to be sneezed at. What an incredible achievement. I have to say full congratulations from all of us on the Rab Show. What an outstanding year.
Thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, yeah, thanks again for taking time to celebrate your New Year's with us here on the Big Rab Show. And yeah, I cannot wait to see you in Glasgow this incoming year.
Excellent. Let's hope the weather's every bit as sunny, but maybe not quite as warm.
Well, that's it indeed, yeah. Instead of beer money, I'll be bringing ice cream money. Yeah. Thanks so much for chatting with us, Reid. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There you are. Now, I'm sure looking back at 2022, you wouldn't have thought that you needed ice cream money. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It was an unusual World Championships, but yeah, such a good one. And again, I just want to say a huge thank you to Reid for joining us on the show here and, yeah, taking time out to talk to us. And, yeah, again, full congratulations to everyone there at SFU Drum Corps. That's such an outstanding achievement. It was well done. So that's it for the topic of the week, a podcast of a difference this week. I dare say we're going to get some emails about it going, Rab, come on, where's all the news and updates and stuff? Well, don't worry, that's happening next week. All right, next week's pod, episode 313. Jakers, with 313? Wow. So yeah, episode 313 will be business as usual. We'll be catching up with all of the news and updates and everything. Plus, of course, we'll have quite an interesting topic of the week to bring you next week as well. So yeah, the big wheel keeps on turning and the piping world keeps on moving, I guess. Am I going to start singing Tina Turner now? Big wheel keep on turning. There you go, class. All right, that's it for another Big Rab Show podcast. What am I doing? I think I've maybe had too much tea at this point. Yeah, thank you everyone for downloading this week and each and every week. And as I said before at the beginning of the show, don't forget to check us out on Patreon, where we do have loads of extra content up there, including our weekly Fuse FM Ballymoney radio show. And yeah, you may well have already had early access to that interview over there on Patreon. Yeah, it's been over there for a wee while now. That's all I'm going to say. But yes, there's a ton of other exclusive stuff back there that you may want to get your mitts on. That's all I'm saying. All right, that's it for another Big Rab Show podcast. Thank you all again for downloading, and we will see you next week for another Rab Show pod where, yeah, it'll be back to business as usual. Until then, we will see you back here on the Rab Show pod next week. All the best. Well, that's it for another Big Rab Show podcast. Thanks so much for downloading this week. And a special thank you to our sponsor, G1 Reeds. Played by bands around the world, they are the champion's choice. Played by two-time world champions in Vararian District. Don't forget to check out thebigrabshow.com to be kept up to date with all the latest news and views from the piping world. And also check us out on Patreon. For $5 a month, you can get your hands on tons of extra piping goodness and be part of the Patreon faithful. So until next week, guys, we'll see you right here on the Big Rab Show podcast. All the best.